Next on BYUSN, the Cougars just 40 minutes away from tip-off against Duquesne in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Everything you need to know ahead of the matchup against the Dukes. We'll preview the specific matchup with BYU's Jackson Robinson and Ali Khalifa.
Continues as the Cougars prepare to win their first game since 2012 in March Madness. And the alternate cast returns. Hang with us during the game on a second screen as Jimmer Fredette joins the program.
It's always a good day, like Christmas morning on the first day of the NCAA tournament, and why not throw in some Jimmer to boot? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, March 21st. I am Spencer Linton.
Yeah, baby!
He is Jerem Jordan, live from the scene in Omaha. How's the tournament feel today, man?
Hey, it's buzzing, man. It is freezing outside, by the way. It's 39 degrees in Omaha, but it's going to be really really fun to be inside the CHI Health Center, Omaha here, home of the Creighton Blue Jays. Steven Ashworth, Lone Peak, what up? It's funny because Duquesne's from Pittsburgh, and Creighton's in Pittsburgh, so they kind of just switched there. But it's March Madness, baby. This is today and tomorrow, like, the two best days of the whole year, and obviously the Cougs are playing Duquesne in the first round. It's going to be awesome. I watched warm-ups a little earlier, Spence. A couple of notes. Tiki Aliotiki, Marcus Adams Jr. not dressed. They haven't been the last couple of games, so not big news there. But, here we are at the NCAA tournament, man. Ali Khalifa's out there warming up like normal. Ankle should be good to go. And so let's play, man. Let's go.
Great stuff. Now, due to the early start time, you and I, Jerem, this morning decided that we needed to do everybody that may have work or school conflicting with more important things like BYU and Duquesne, who clearly should be at the top of the priority list for everyone. We thought that we would put together a little official note that you can hand to your boss or your principal or your teacher that goes a little something like this. For the overall mental health and mental well-being of fill in the blank, Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan of BYU Sports Nation collectively would like to excuse said person from whatever responsibilities they have for the rest of the day. So, listen, if you want to blame it on somebody, put it on BYUSN.
Signed,
we got
Shane
you.
Reese.
Yeah. And, a forged signature of the president
ASB
of
Online
Brigham
4.
Young University. Oh, good stuff. With that in mind, all rise and shout. It's tournament day in What's Trending.
As a competitor, it's what you dream about is the opportunity to play against great, great teams.
Duquesne is a really, really special team.
This is what we've been preparing for all season long.
We're fearless, right? Like, we're going in, we're not going to overlook anybody, and we're not going to back down to anybody.
What's Trending presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner. The long road to Omaha. As Mark Pope just said, we have been preparing as a team for this the entire season. Now it's really time to go and prove your merit in the most important tournament that most of these athletes will play in their entirety of their lives. All right, so BYU and Duquesne, Jerem, first round matchup, the Cougars, depending on which line you look at, somewhere between an 8.5 and 9.5 point favorite against the Dukes, which is favorable. So we're going to discuss not just the line, but really inside the game, the things that matter most. Or do they matter? We'll present a number of different scenarios, stats, figures, about players and schemes and whatnot. And then you and I are going to discuss if it really matters. Beginning with this, BYU is 23-2, my friend, when they shoot 32% or better from the three-point line. How much does it matter in today's game in March Madness?
Oh, it matters in every game for BYU this year, Spence, of course. BYU's got to play well and shoot well from the three-point line. 32%, again, is not a huge number. Like, Mr. 32 was Jimmer Fredette, even my guy Dennis Pitta. But, yeah, if BYU can shoot in the mid-30s, like, I see, like, Sean Farnham said, BYU will get a nice, comfortable win. But if they don't, that's where the concern is. BYU shot more threes than twos. They're looking to be the fourth high major team to do that in the last 20 or 30 years. It's unique, but BYU's got to do it. They got to shoot 32% or better. It matters.
Typically, BYU, if they don't make at least 10 threes and shoot 32%, they're in a really bad place. Not saying they can't win the game if they don't, Jerem. Like, maybe BYU shoots 31% or 30%. They could still win the game, but it feels like it would get really, really weird and be close and uncomfortable if the Cougars cannot hit that 32% mark or get into double figures in three-point shooting. So, yeah, I don't think it's something that fans should be afraid of, because to your point, it's not like 32% is this incredible, out-of-this-world number. Like, if we were asking BYU to shoot like 38% or even 36% as a team, yep, that's a big number. This team is more than capable, as they have shown time and again. The trend would suggest that they will be at this number. It absolutely matters. Make 10 threes, shoot 32%, and BYU probably not just should win, but should cover the line. I feel that strongly about this number. All right, number two, what do you have for us, Jerem?
I love it. Okay, Duquesne, 29th in defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. How much does that matter?
It matters. Duquesne can muddy things up. They can speed you up. And at times, teams like Duquesne have given BYU problems, especially in Big 12 play. If they can turn people over and create those points off turnovers and live ball turnovers and those momentum shifting plays, like turnovers that immediately turn into points, are the ones that get the fans really going. And if you're not a BYU fan in this opening session, correct me if I'm wrong, Jerem, but naturally people just want to see an upset. People just want to see the lower seed win. So if fans are allowed to start rooting for the Dukes and it's getting weird late, then that, like, there's some scoreboard pressure on BYU. So the Cougars need to do a really good job of ball security. 13 turnovers or fewer is where I've kind of put it, because Duquesne's really, this matters. They can make things very difficult for BYU. How do you see the Dukes defensively and how much this will factor in?
Yeah, they really slow you down. Like, think UCF, think a little Texas Tech, right, in terms of how they defend you. They may blow up the ball screens, but hey, BYU has so many cutters, such good spacing, some one-on-ones with Foose perhaps. They've got to knock down open shots when they come. Like, Texas Tech wasn't that the Red Raiders just disarmed BYU. BYU didn't get physical. They didn't get into what Dallin Hall calls the combat zone, you know, get in the paint and up in a guy on the perimeter defensively. So BYU's got to rebound. They got to contest shots. They got to make threes, and they got to cut and get open to the bucket. Do the stuff that's gotten BYU to this point.
Yeah, they're averaging almost 16 points a game off turnovers, are the Dukes. If they can hit that average or be above that, then that spells real problems for BYU. Okay, on to the next one. Duquesne's Jimmy Clark is top 10 in the country in steals per game. Almost three a game, 2.7. You pointed out in our phone call this morning, they call him the Pittsburgh Stealer, which is hilarious.
Great, okay? Right?
Yeah, it's a fantastic nickname because, of course, Duquesne is in Pittsburgh. And, yes, it's a different type of steal, but the play on words is outstanding. How much does a player like Jimmy Clark matter in a game like today?
It does matter because he's part of a team that turns you over about 20% of the time, which is top 50 in the country. BYU's got to limit the turnovers like you talked about. It's part of what they do defensively. They're also a super slow team. They're methodical on offense. And so Dallin Hall told us yesterday, hey, we can't let that dictate kind of how we flow on offense. Jackson Robinson said, we live in transition. So BYU can't let Duquesne dictate the terms of the tempo on offense especially.
Yeah, again, if BYU gets into a situation where they're turning the ball over, especially if they have one of those lulls where at times of the season they've had three or four turnovers in a two-minute span, and then all of a sudden, like, their 10-point lead is down to two, like, that spells trouble against a team like Duquesne. And, yes, everything matters. Jimmy Clark matters, and, frankly, Day-Day Grant matters, which takes us to our next point.
He is number one among all active players in three-point games with six or more. So that's a lot. Does that matter?
I want to say that BYU, because they've had a full week to, like, or at least since finding out about the matchup, it's been four full days. Like, they're well aware of what this guy is capable of and that he's their best three-point shooter.
Yeah.
And the Cougars have done a nice job on some players. They had a really, really good stretch against Max Asmus and some of these high-level scores in the Big 12 where they limited those guys. But the trend lately, Jerem, is, man, they've allowed some guys to just go nuts. Like, they've allowed back-to-back 30-point scores when you look at what happened against Oklahoma State and then UCF, and then Pop Isaacs got going again for Texas Tech in the first half. So I wish I wasn't as concerned, and I wish I didn't think it mattered as much, but this is a guy that could go for 25 or 30 points with how he can shoot the ball. Like, if he starts cooking and he's torching BYU, this could be another one of those scenarios where BYU's got a guy that's having a career-type day. Now, what I do like is it typically takes multiple guys to have great games against BYU to beat the Cougars because BYU is so balanced. So if it's just Day Day Grant, fine, but it can't be more than that. How do you see it?
Not super concerned. Obviously, there is concern, but think Jackson Robinson. Like, Jackson Robinson is a guy who's gone 4-for-9 in some of the biggest wins BYU's had this year from three, notably at Kansas in one of them. So, yes, limit him, but you're right. BYU's had multiple guys go for 30-plus, and it didn't cost BYU the game. In fact, they have multiple 14-point wins against 30-point guys in Darius Johnson of UCF and Javon Small of Oklahoma State. So, not super concerned, but what it is like, if you take care of the ball, rebound, shoot 32% or better from three, I'm not that concerned if somebody makes six threes from the other side or has 32 points because you're probably up by enough.
All right, let's go ahead with, now that BYU has been sitting on a loss for 1 week, you have to wonder, okay, how sharp is the chip on the shoulder, if that even makes sense. I mean, they've been bugged about this loss against Texas Tech they've been sitting on. But, yeah, like the ad nauseum cliche chip on the shoulder is there for BYU, but is there any rust that's involved with this? I mean, how much does a week off and sitting on a loss matter in a game like today?
I think emotionally it matters. We've talked about various motivations throughout the season for BYU. I think BYU is very motivated and excited to be here. Duquesne had to win 5 games in 5 days to get to this point. And they may be a little tired from last week. They may be just happy to be here since it's been first tourney since 1977. Who knows? But I think BYU is motivated and excited in the proper way and rested and ready to go, man. I talked about Atiki and Marcus not dressed. That's been the case the last couple games. They haven't been expecting them, per se, to be available. So it's a full go for BYU today. What do you think?
BYU has played in so many high-pressure, high-intensity, high-level games this season in the Big 12. We've talked so much about them being battle-tested, and they have shown resilience. I know you're probably tired of hearing about it from me, but BYU has won 5 straight games coming off of a loss, and all of those 5 wins were in the toughest conference in America. Like, let's believe what BYU has put out there and give them some credit for that. And so, yeah, it does matter that they've been sitting on a loss for a week. They've had extra time to stew on this. And they've won the last 5 straight after losses. I like BYU's bounce back ability here against Duquesne today.
Okay, next one. BYU hasn't won an NCAA tournament game since 2012. Does that matter?
Emotionally, it matters a lot for me, for you, for every yeah. coach on the staff, for
it
all
matters.
The players that have been hearing about it. Everybody associated with the BYU community, yes, this matters a lot. This would be the perfect way to cap a fantastic season for BYU. Just win at least one so that you don't have to be like, man, this was awesome. But gosh, they still haven't won a tournament game since 2012. BYU is a 6 seed. They were a 6 seed against UCLA in 2021. I know that the Bruins got hot, and they were probably underseeded in that regard. And this is a different team in Duquesne than what BYU faced in UCLA. But still, BYU's the favorite. They're a clear favorite. Let's go take care of business. They've been sitting on that loss for a week. This matters. End the streak today. BYU doesn't want to hear about this anymore. Start a new win streak in the NCAA tournament in Omaha.
I don't think it matters to several of these players because they weren't on those teams and they're new to BYU. Guys like Ali Khalifa and Jackson Robinson and whatnot. Jackson wants to carve out his own legacy. He was on an Elite Eight team with Arkansas a couple of years ago.
Fair point.
But he didn't play. He wants to play and be in this tournament and be a guy, right? Ali Khalifa wants to be a guy. He's so excited, by the way, to be in March Madness. Like, I could see it on his face. He was stoked last week to like just get a win in a conference tournament, let alone the NCAA tournament. As some BYU fans walk in behind me, which is fun. They continue to stream in. It's the time for this group to carve out their own legacy. It does not matter to them, in my opinion, that it was 12 years ago the BYU last won in this tournament.
Yeah, I guess my point there is they're probably tired of hearing about something they had nothing to do with. They're like, hey, we weren't playing on those teams. Don't put that on us.
I don't think that narrative has been pushed too much, so they're not overly bothered. I don't think the guys maybe even know.
Hey, then I'm glad to hear that, because you and I and all the fans have been unfortunately understanding this fact and like diving into this. So end it today and it's all good. Okay, speaking of tournament droughts, not just winning there, but like just getting to the tournament. Duquesne making their first NCAA tournament trip since 1977. It's almost been a half century since the Dukes have been in the official bracket. And their head coach, Keith Dambrot, is retiring. He announced that conveniently once they got into the tournament. And now there's this win one for the Gipper mentality. How much does this matter for BYU and Duquesne?
The 77 thing doesn't matter at all. BYU's won a football national championship more recently than Duquesne's been in the NCAA tournament. What? The Dambrot thing is interesting, though. A reminder, he was at St. Vincent, St. Mary's High School, LeBron's freshman and sophomore year coach.
Wild.
LeBron tweeted about Dambrot, by the way, earlier in the week, which is pretty cool. BYU players were aware of that because they follow LeBron on Twitter, of course. But that is an emotional kind of stinger that could elevate Duquesne a little bit more. As you mentioned, win one for the Gipper type thing. We'll see if it actually works, though. I just think BYU is a very good team and a highly motivated Duquesne team. Great. First time since 77, you don't need to win if you're Duquesne.
No, they're good.
You need to win if you're BYU.
Yes, yes. There are different streaks there for sure and different meanings for each team. Bonus question. Does BYU have any type of advantage because this is a morning game and the last two games they have played have been essentially in this window, Jerem?
Dallin Hall said they're starting to get used to it. And so the rhythm of that may be new for Duquesne. Granted, I don't know if Duquesne played in the morning in the A-10 tournament. Maybe they did, but they played five games. Chances are they played at least one early, but they might have been on the afternoon-evening side of the bracket. I don't know. I just think BYU is the better team, and they're going to win today.
All right, our question of the day. Let's go ahead and make some guarantees. What is your game day guarantee for today's BYU-Duquesne matchup in the NCAA tournament? At Ames Flames chiming in on X, she says, 13 threes. Mark it down. Jerem, you called 13 threes for BYU against UCF, and it happened. Are you gonna join Ames Flames there?
I'm not calling 13 today, but I am feeling 10.
Okay.
Feeling 10.
Double digits, okay? Enough to help BYU get a comfortable win, perhaps. At 2_6_Semo on X says, our foos will dominate their foos. Now, I can get behind that.
Nice.
I think that's an actual thing.
Foos knows the other Foos a little bit. He's 2 years older, as we heard yesterday. And so, yeah, it's a huge city. Foos is a word that you name for like a twin. And so Foos said he was named after his dad, who's a twin, and this other Foos is a twin. So there's your Molly Fusini naming mechanisms.
Check that one out the bingo board for this morning. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Going to it early. Got stuff to do. Thank you, Larry Scott on X answers. Today,
funny every time.
Today, I guarantee more than 33 pointers taken, 11 plus made. Ali has 8 plus assists and a double digit lead at half and an 8 plus point win. Whoa, that's a series of guarantees from thank you, Larry Scott. All right, hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. 6 seed BYU and 11 seed Duquesne. Just 22 minutes from tipping in the first round of the NCAA tournament. A reminder to join us on BYU Sports Nation even when the game starts, because we're welcoming in the great Jimmer Fredette. Get your multi-screens going. It's an altcast. Watch the first 10 minutes of the game with Jimmer Fredette's commentary as you digest it at home. And up next, we'll continue our in-depth preview of the Dukes and Cougars with Jackson Robinson and Ali Khalifa of BYU Men's Hoops. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Fulton Traore finds so. Steps back. That's a good sign for this BYU team. Ali Khalifa steps way out for three. And Dallin Hall slams it home.
Waterman dials up, gets through.
It's go time on tournament day. Live look in Omaha as fans file in to the convention center for what is going to be an outstanding day of basketball. I am Spencer Linton in Studio B. Jerem Jordan is in Omaha. He'll join us again in a moment. Yesterday, Jerem spoke with several BYU players ahead of today's matchup, including the Big 12 Sixth Man of the Year, Jackson Robinson. Here's Jerem's conversation with BYU's leading scorer and just such an asset off the bench.
All right, Jackson, you've been to the NCAA tournament, but to be one of the main guys on the team, what is it like in this one for you?
It's a great experience. Something new for me, but I'm excited. I'm ready to get out here on the court with my guys, go to war with them, and hopefully make a run in the tournament.
What'd you learn at Arkansas in that Elite Eight run that could help you here?
I would probably say just keeping the outside noise, the outside, and just focusing on what's in this locker room. I think it can be really easy to get into the media and everything, but just making sure you're worried about what's going on with everybody in this locker room first, and then just letting everything else take care of itself.
Seems like you guys have been motivated by different things throughout the year that have kind of pushed you to another level. Are you guys motivated by anything in particular right now, perhaps seeding or otherwise?
I would say proving everybody wrong and also just proving ourselves right. I think we've been doing that all season, and just continue to move forward in whatever way that is, especially with winning. So it all starts with the first game against Duquesne, just trying to come out with a win and then just move on from there.
Was it easy to move on from Texas Tech once you got to Selection Sunday and you saw your name up there and you could focus on another opponent?
Obviously you'd want to win those type of games. It was a tough game for us. I wouldn't say it was easy to move on, but at the same time, seeing our name up there on Selection Sunday was definitely a blessing. Everybody was super excited, and we knew we had to move past it and get ready for this next game.
What sticks out about the Dukes to you?
They're a great defensive team. Go for a lot of steals. They gamble a lot. And then they like to get out in transition, but if they don't have anything in transition, they're going to walk the ball up the floor, get into plays and sets. But like I said, defensively, they're a great team. I think they've got a little bit of Texas Tech, UCF, TCU feel to them. But just making sure we're ready to come in and play. It's going to be a challenge. You can't take any plays off. This is a whole new aspect for everybody, so we all have to make sure we're locked in.
Feel like you got your game face on right now. You dialed in?
I would say so.
What's the thing you're looking forward to the most about this process, being in the NCAA tournament?
Just being here, like, with my teammates. Started all in the summer before our foreign tour. Like, we were all working our tails off. Coach kept us in the gym. We stayed in the gym. Came together, things like that, left super late. So just know all the hard work paid off, and these were the group of guys that I did it with. I think everybody feels the same way about that. So just making sure that we're there for one another in this time, and like I said, it's getting the win.
Other than make threes, what will you need to do tomorrow to win?
Rebound, communicate, great defense. Just be the aggressor in every aspect. That's what you have to do. You can't be on your heels. So just making sure we come out aggressive from the jump, and everything else will take care of itself.
Who's the most likely guy to make one shining moment in this locker room?
There's a lot of guys. I think we've seen it all season. Different guys have stepped up in multiple occasions. So I don't think there's one specific guy. I believe everybody on this team. So. Hopefully we don't get in that situation, but if we were, I think a lot of guys could step up.
I just had a vision of, like, Richie's hair, like he's all sweaty in the headband. Like, that could be a good one, right?
It could be. It could be. The headbands, that's Richie's thing. So, yeah.
Well, best of luck against Duquesne. Thanks for the time, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jackson Robinson with Jerem Jordan. Now let's move on in our pregame interviews with Ali Khalifa, who a lot of people feel like he has been this last key ingredient in the magic potion that has produced such an unforgettable season for BYU, not just with his ability to stretch a defense and shoot the three, but certainly, and many of you have seen it, just an uncanny ability to deliver the basketball and quote-unquote drop dimes consistently. Now, You've all been made aware of, if you followed this program, that Ali is a devout Muslim and he is practicing all of the aspects of fasting within Ramadan, which continues right now. He's done this in the Big 12 tournament. It's continued in the NCAA tournament, and BYU is helping him adhere to something he feels so strongly about. Here is Ali Khalifa with Jerem Jordan before BYU and Duquesne.
All right, Ali, first question, of course, is how you're feeling during Ramadan again here?
Feeling great. Getting used to it a little bit now.
You can get used to it.
Yeah, you get used to it a little bit. Your stomach starts feeling smaller. But feeling good. Still thirsty and hungry, obviously. But, yeah, it's just pretty fun. So I'm good. Great.
How have you gotten used to it?
Just not be able to practice and lift during the day and that. Without water or food, I feel like that's the part. I'm not as hungry, I'm not as thirsty. Just managing my meals better at night and stuff like that. So, yeah, every Muslim would say, like, you just get used to it during the month. The first week is the hardest, so now it's getting easier. So,
how have you increased your faith during this time?
I increased a lot. Like, I told my friends yesterday, I was trying to finish the whole Quran, during the month. I normally read the Quran, but not like very frequently. So doing that, praying a lot, and like waking up in the morning, first thing in the morning, praying and stuff like that, I didn't really used to do. Used to do it, obviously, but not like every day thing. So I feel like I increased it like that and put more faith in God, and it's been really fun. So
that's fantastic. In terms of feeling rested and whatnot, it's been a week since you guys have played. Are you guys feeling like you got full strength at this point?
Yep. Feeling healthy, the whole team, feeling ready to go. We've never been into March, so, or me personally, so we're really excited just to go out there and hoop. And we're rested, we had a week off, we had great practices, and we had a great practice right now. We just finished, and we're rested, we're healthy, we're ready to go.
What are you most excited about with this process in March Madness?
What am I most excited about?
About being in the NCAA tournament.
It's a lot of things, man. I was telling my friend Selection Sunday, like, I normally just watch it from home. So it's just I'm pretty excited for everything like this, like having this media availability in the locker room and press conferences and just going out there in the court, just have March Madness on it right in the middle, first round, second round, whatever, and just going out there playing against the best teams in the country. So that's like, we've been doing this all year in the Big 12, obviously, but now it's like we have to test ourselves against like the best teams. And this situation, if you win, you keep going. If you lose, season's over type of thing. It's a privilege to play this time of the season. Not a lot of people get to do it and at any level. And a lot of people dream just to play in March Madness, and now we're just living the dream. So
I'm excited for people to see you. I think they're going to really, really like you. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Like, obviously, the Big 12 is a big stage. That's what I came to BYU for, to show my talent and help the team win. But now it's like, let's show it to other people too. It's pretty fun. I hope, hopefully, people get to know me. Even if they're not, I don't really care. I just want to win with the team. So
they're going to get to know you. I'm telling you right now. In terms of beating Duquesne, what are some of the keys in your mind to winning?
They're really aggressive defensively. They're a really good team. They have really two good guards and some great players, obviously, a great coach. I feel like we just got to take care of the ball. They're very good defensively, like I said. Taking care of the ball and stopping their guards. They have very good scoring guards. Limit their transition points. They had run a lot of actions, obviously. They have a Hall of Fame coach over there. So, yeah, just I feel like limiting turnovers, playing as aggressive. They bully people. They that's how they won the Atlantic 10 Conference. They just bully their way through, and we have to step up and match their physicality. So that's how we're going to get the win tomorrow, hopefully.
It's kind of fun to look over there and be like, oh, that guy coached LeBron, freshman and sophomore year in high school, right?
Yeah, I saw on Sunday when they won the conference, LeBron tweeted about him. And then he just announced he's retiring after that. So it's great, obviously, playing against the greats. Like, this Big 12, we played against a lot of great coaches. We have a great coach ourselves. So it's pretty cool just to see, like, this coach been coaching this team for a long time. And now, like, it's time to step down. And, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Did you grow up in Egypt ever watching March Madness, or was that later in your life?
No, that was my second year of high school, probably in Australia. That's when I started actually paying attention to which teams go, and we've been to two Final Fours just to watch. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I want to be there one day, and now we're actually living it after 4 or 5 years. So I'm just living the dream, and I'm just so happy. So.
Well, best of luck with the continued fast and play against Duquesne. Thanks for the time, man.
Yes, I appreciate you. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Ali Khalifa with Jerem. Hey, the women are also doing some work tonight. BYU at Santa Clara in the inaugural WBIT. Their opening round game tips at 9 Eastern. Listen live on BYU Radio. After the break, final thoughts before tip-off as we look in at Omaha with Jerem and a rise and shout-out to a special team. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B in Provo and from Omaha, Nebraska. Spencer and Jerem here. Okay, Jerem, let's get right to it. You're about to watch BYU and Duquesne play. What are your parting words before BYU tips off against the Dukes and begins what the Cougars hope is a magical run through March?
So excited for this, Spence. We've waited all year for this. What an incredible regular season BYU had. Now it's time to define the season. We define winners by winning in the postseason, not regular season. So BYU's got to win a game, Spence. And I do want to leave you with this one note. This is bigger than basketball. A guy by the name of Chris Barton stopped me and said, hey, tell Spencer hi. His dad, Kent, baptized my parents. Only at BYU, bro. That's really, really special and pretty cool. Wanted to pass that along, man.
No, I appreciate that. Very, very cool. We appreciate your work, Jerem. Excellent stuff from Omaha. All of BYU Sports Nation has certainly enjoyed the all-access coverage. Take that BYUSN karma. Share it with the Cougs. Let's do our part, my friend. Get in that arena and go watch some basketball.
Okay, let's have fun. Tell James hello.
You got it. I'll pass it along to Jimmer. Jerem Jordan, ladies and gentlemen, today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. It goes to, yes, BYU Men's Hoops, who are about to tip off and look for their first NCAA tournament win since 2012. The amount of joy and happiness they have brought to BYU fans, especially after a rough finish to the football season. This has been a healing balm in a lot of ways. We hope that the celebration continues through today, and we'll see how far it goes in March. All right, stay with us. Pull out your second screen to watch BYU Duquesne with myself and Jimmer Fredette for a live reaction to the game from one of the BYU GOATs. How did he handle all of these nerves? This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. We just said goodbye to Jerem Jordan for the moment, who is in Omaha watching the games, but that now has made room for the great Jimmer Fredette, who joins us as the Cougars and Dukes are about to tip off in the NCAA tournament. Jimmer, it doesn't feel like that long ago. Hard to believe. It's been 13 years since you were doing this as a senior at BYU, but how did you handle the nerves, not just your senior year, but your junior year of playing in such a high-pressure game and tournament like this?
Man, I'm going to get to that question here in a second, but the first thing I got to do is I got to bring in these two little ones. We got the Cougs all over here. We are not biased at all at this household. I'm just telling you that right now. My Wessels. So that's great. All right, let's go enjoy the game, okay? See you guys.
Hey, the kids are involved. Let's go.
The kids are involved. They're ready to go. But for real, this is just a crazy time period at this point. You're thinking about everything that's going on and all the emotions that are going into this and exactly, the game plan, and you know that it's mega hyped at this point. And even your practices, the open practices that you've had to this point have been, you know, with 10,000 people in the stands or whatever, however many people there are watching. So you just know the media hype is just elevated and you're just preparing all season to be able to play this game. So it's, the emotions are high. It's super exciting, but at the same time, you got to focus in and start taking care of business.
What makes you think that BYU can handle this moment? Because they haven't won a tournament game in 12 years, almost since your time. So what makes you feel confident that they can do it this go around?
I think the biggest thing is they have a lot of veteran guys that have played in big games before and are prime and positioned to be able to make a run. If you look at great tournament teams, generally speaking, you have veteran players that are on the team that are a little bit older, that have been through the ringer, that have started as a freshman and then kind of built their way up and now are seniors and are able to go out there and just seize that moment. They know it's their last chance, right? So because of that, they play with that effort and that energy. And we have several guys on our team that are older and, you know, ready for this moment. And obviously for us, if we get hot and we can shoot threes, even if we make them at a 32% clip, like we've talked about a lot, they can win basketball games and they know that. So just getting them up, making sure they're taking good shots, being poised, and I think they can be primed to make a little run here.
All right, Jimmer, we have often focused on guys that are going to have a big impact in this game. And you just pointed out, BYU's been so balanced this year. It feels like somebody different in every game is coming up with a big shot or big plays or turns it on. So who's your Y factor as the game tips off from Omaha right now?
For me, it's going to be Richie Saunders. I think his energy is so critical, especially in games like this. If there's any type of flat start, I mean, when you start the game, you have so much adrenaline, right? Like you get up for this game and then all of a sudden you play. And then the first 2 minutes, all of the starters are gassed. It's just the way it works, right? Until they get that second wind. So they need a guy to come off of the bench with energy. And that's what Richie can provide. He needs to be able to get there, get some loose ball, get some offensive rebounds, get some extra possessions for us, get a couple of steals, easy baskets, and then be able to hit his open threes. And if he's hitting his open threes, we are extremely tough because that's a guy that, you know, is kind of a, not necessarily the focal point of the offense, but when he's hitting shots and having bringing that energy, it gets everybody else up. So I'm looking for him to have a great game, and he's my Y factor for this one.
All right, Jimmer, the Atlantic 10 tournament champions have opened the game, knocking down their first three. In fact, it's now a 5-0 lead. I know that things can get out of hand mentally in a hurry, but you pointed out you feel like this BYU team is mentally tough. So how do you handle the nerves when things aren't going well early on in this game and calm down? What is your advice to the team if you were in the huddle with them to help them calm down and kind of like not let this thing get out of hand?
Yeah, for sure. You just got to stay the course, right? And I think you see this in the NCAA tournament a lot. Even with the first four games that have been played, you've seen teams that have been down by a lot, double digits, and have come back and either win or come close or tie the game. So you just have to continue to stay the course and understand that teams are going to go on runs. Sometimes in the beginning of the game, it's kind of that false confidence of feeling like you have a really big lead. And then once that other team settles in, it usually comes back to the mean. So that's just kind of how it works. You just have to make sure to continue to stay the course, play your game plan, continue to be poised. You don't just have to jack up a bunch of really bad shots and let that lead continue to grow, right? It's about just getting good shots, scoring, and knowing that your defense is going to take care of business. They're going to miss shots. You're going to get out in transition. You're going to do what you do, but it's about weathering that storm and understanding it. And that's where the leadership comes in as having older players. And I think that's what BYU would do.
Now, Jimmer, you were part of a team that ended a long losing streak for BYU in the NCAA tournament when you got past Florida in that crazy double overtime thriller. How much were you and the players aware of the fact that BYU hadn't won an NCAA tournament game in a very long time?
Very aware. I mean, I won't lie to you. Like, that's something that we wanted to break as a team. Like, that was our goal. I went to the NCAA tournament all 4 years that I was there. The first 2 years, we played Texas A&M both times, which was interesting. But we ended up losing close games to both of them. And we just knew we just had an opportunity to win those games. And at some point, we knew we were going to break through. So when we played against Florida, obviously, it wasn't easy going into double overtime. But when we got that monkey off our back, it was just an amazing feeling. And then the next year, we used that momentum to kind of understand how to win in the tournament and then be able to, you know, advance to the Sweet 16.
All right, slow start for BYU. It's 5-0 Duquesne. Dallin Hall just got poked in the face during a rebound. Kind of, I'm not sure if it was a shoulder or an elbow, but he's being attended to. We know what Dallin means to this team, Jimmer. And I feel like because of everything he does to get guys in the right place and get the offense moving And it's not just on offense. Like, he knows where everybody needs to be on defense, too. He's in many ways the quarterback of this BYU team. I assume he's going to be okay as Rob Ramos, the trainer, who you know well, is taking care of Dallin. But if Dallin is not able to play, what does that do to BYU?
It changes their whole dynamic, to be honest with you. Usually what happens is Jackson Robinson will be put to the point guard position for a lot of the time, which he's been doing a fairly good job of this season and short spurts. But then it becomes, all right, if that needs to be more extended, you're going to see some Trey Stewart minutes where he's going to come in. And then how is he going to affect the game? He's going to affect the game on the defensive end, being able to get people involved, offensive rebounds, getting to the basket. So it kind of brings in a different dynamic. Dallin is extremely important to that team, just especially towards the end of the games, to get them into what they need to get into and run that pick and roll with Foose, getting guys open. So hopefully Dallin is okay. I'm sure Rob is doing everything he can to get him back into the game as quickly as he can be, and I'm sure that'll be the case. But yeah, look for Jackson Robinson to be a little bit more aggressive offensively at the point guard position, and then Trey Stewart hopefully being able to create havoc on the defensive end.
Well, taking Dallin into the locker room to look at him, he's got gauze in both nostrils. So knowing Dallin's toughness, I think he's going to be back for sure. Jackson Robinson, by the way, now takes over at the point guard position. BYU's had to deal with this before, Jimmer. So what is the key? Like, what is the key to being like, you know, we're going to be fine? Like, if you're Coach Pope, what are you saying to the team with Dallin Hall in the locker room right now? Like, hey, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, for sure. We've done this before. You know, there's been games where Dallin has been sitting for longer stretches at a time, and our team has been able to continue to use that momentum. It's just, it's a different lineup. It's a bigger lineup. It makes it a little bit more switchable lineup. Maybe they throw in their zone, you know, to be able to use that length that they have, where they have three basically wings and two bigs, you know, playing at the same time. So that's going to be something to look forward to, seeing how they can create turnovers, deflections, all those different things. And then on the offensive end, they're going to get into their offense. There's not going to be probably quite as much pick and roll with Jackson at the point, but they're going to get into their offense. They'll throw it into the bigs. They'll do their five out offense where they're able to cut to the basket and let Ali kind of use his point guard skills to kind of run the offense on the half court set. So they've done this before. They'll be fine. They'll be able to weather that storm and just kind of run things through Foose, run things through Ali and Jackson, and then everybody else, you know, cuts off of it, gets their normal shots, and continues to play good basketball. But I think I think they'll be just fine.
Well, foul with Ali Khalifa hitting the deck. It's 7-0 Duquesne. Keith Dambrot was LeBron James' high school coach in 9th and 10th grade. He's now retiring. He announced that after the Dukes won the A-10 tournament, went on this magical run to get to their first tournament since 1977. How much of an impact does the win one for the Gipper mentality have, do you think, for Duquesne?
It matters. I really believe that. A lot of times guys just come out with a little bit more energy. They understand, especially if they respect and love the coach. Which it seems like they really do there at Duquesne. Obviously, they've had a great season. This is something that hasn't been the norm necessarily for them. And to win that A-10 tournament was huge for that program. It's awesome to see. They've been on a hot streak recently. They've won a lot of games and obviously won the tournament. So they're coming into this game feeling really confident and feeling really good. And, you know, I think looking at it, Duquesne was probably like, hey, this is a great matchup for us too, as we think that it's a great matchup for Duquesne. I'm sure they're thinking the same thing, right? So they're coming in with confidence, and they want to be able to, you know, advance and win in the tournament as well. It's something they haven't done in a long time as well. So it's important for both of these teams, and it's going to be a battle of wills. Like I said, I think it's going to be a close one, and then at the end of games, who executes better?
Some early turnovers for BYU. Now they've gone to Fusini Traore, and I feel like this is a guy because Duquesne is a smaller team. In fact, in terms of average height, 284th smallest team in the country, which is well down the list. What kind of an impact do you think Foose could have now that he enters the court for the first time?
You got to get him going right away, specifically when Dallin is out, because that's how they're going to run their offense. You got to run it through Foose at this point. Throw him the ball, steady the ship, let him get a couple of easy baskets, maybe get some fouls, get to the free throw line, slow the game down a little bit. I think that's really important. So it's something that they need to do right away. Try to get Foose in there, get him the ball, get him a touch as soon as he comes into the game to make sure that he's feeling a part of that offense, and then play off of it. Have guys cut, have guys move. Maybe you're going to get a couple open threes off of it. And but for him, it's important to try to go to work and try to score baskets.
Great stuff from Jimmer Fredette thus far. Timeout on the floor. We're going to take a timeout with them, Jimmer. Come back and hang out a little bit more, if you will. Still on the way. More live reaction from the great Jimmer Fredette as BYU tries to put up their first points here against Duquesne. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B. I'm Spencer Linton. Jimmer Fredette is joining me for this altcast as we all watch the first few minutes of this BYU NCAA tournament game with a guy who won multiple games in March Madness. Okay, Jimmer, you and I were just talking during the break about BYU getting punched against Texas Tech early in. The Cougars never really responded. Why do you feel like BYU is going to punch back today against Duquesne?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's their last opportunity, right? This is a do or die situation. It's similar in that in the conference tournament, but the difference is they knew that they were going to go to the NCAA tournament and they knew they were going to play another game. Whereas this one, they are not playing another game if they don't win, obviously. So you don't want that taste in your mouth. They're going to fight back. I believe they're going to get it inside. And what I think they need to do is they need to oppose their will. Duquesne's done a good job of being physical, as you pointed out early, but we need to be the more aggressor and get the ball into the post, let Foos, show his will, be able to get some easy baskets, and then use our strength and our length that we have out on the floor right now to really get into guys, make sure they feel our presence, and make sure they're in understanding that this is going to be a fight for the next 35 minutes.
How much do you think things will change once BYU sees a basketball go through the hoop, whether it's a free throw or their first field goal?
It changes everything, right? Like once you get that lid off of the basket, you feel much better. And that's the biggest thing. Once you see one guy hit a shot, then it becomes contagious. Then the next guy will hit a shot and then it just keeps going from there. So it's super important to get an easy bucket. That's why I think it's important to get it into Foos or get it inside or get a really easy three, maybe get a steal and an easy bucket in transition. So you're trying to get that defense to offense mentality where you're trying to get something easy or getting it into Foos and letting them go to work.
Jackson Robinson has scored BYU's first point from the free throw line. His second is also good. So BYU's on the board. They trail 9-2. Okay, so we'll see if now things change and BYU relaxes a little bit here. Duquesne, it feels like that because they have, quote unquote, nothing to lose, Jimmer, like that will carry you so far. When do you think both teams just kind of like settle into the game and it's not about like emotion? Because it feels like both teams are playing on emotion right now.
Yeah. Midway through the first half, you'll see under that, probably that 10 minute mark, once they hit that 8 minute, media timeout for the last 8 minutes of the game, they'll start settling in and playing like normal basketball, the way that both teams have normally played. But right now it's so frantic. Like you said, this is something that is important to both of these programs. And we understand that. So it's just the way it works in the NCAA tournament. That's why when you see veteran teams be able to kind of do that from the get-go, it really helps. But with both of these teams and the inexperience of being in the NCAA tournament, winning games, they're just ready to go and they just want to go out there and win and put their best foot forward. And sometimes that creates, turnovers or bad shots or whatever, things that you may not do normally, but that'll settle in after the 10-minute mark and they'll start playing normal again.
All right, Jimmer, last question for you in the final 30 seconds. The Cougars don't have somebody like you, a guy who just goes and gets a bucket, who hits a big shot in a pressure situation. You think that Richie Saunders is going to be a Y factor. Who's the guy that if it comes down to it, it's going to take and make the big shot for BYU today?
Normally it's Dolan Hall, and I think he would do it as long as he is able to come back into the game. If it's not him, then look for, Jackson Robinson to go to work and be able to score that bucket. But if Dolan Hall comes back into the game, he's the guy that's been shooting a lot of big shots for them. He's made a lot of big shots for them. So I think he's the guy to look for if he can come back in. If not, it's going to be on Jackson's shoulders.
All right, Dolan is back in the game, so it's a good sign for BYU. Hey, we appreciate you hanging out with us for this altcast, Jimmer. Best of luck to you. Go Cougs. We'll talk again soon.
You're always the best, Spence. We appreciate you, and we'll see you soon. Go Cougs.
You got it. The legend, Jimmer Fredette, with us on BYU Sports Nation. Very cool of him to join us today as we get into the NCAA tournament coverage. BYU trailing Duquesne 12-2. Jackson Robinson has just knocked down BYU's first three-pointer. So that's a good sign. He's got all five of BYU's points, and just maybe that lid is off the basket as the Cougars are down seven. Now, with 40 seconds to go in the show, we need to thank our guest today in recorded interviews, specifically Jackson Robinson, who's working with that BYU Sports Nation Karma. Again, he's got the first 5 points. Shout out to Ali Khalifa as well. And again, another thanks to Jimmer Fredette. Our apologies to Dennis Pitta. Didn't have time for him on today's show. But listen, Dennis, we always love you, man. We hope you're enjoying the game as well. Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. Use the hashtag BYUSN. All of our shows are on demand at BYUSN.com. For Jerem Jordan in Omaha, I am Spencer Linton in Provo. And a shout out to Brock Zylstra, channeling those 2012 tournament vibes. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs!